Lord, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed, Lord, by your goodness and your grace towards us. And keep it coming, Lord. Keep it flowing. Father, we look around this room and we just say yes to expansive space for more people to come to know you. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that this is not it. We thank you and we're grateful for where we're at, Lord. But I thank you that this is not it, Lord. I thank you there's something bigger and greater in your heart for this city and this nation, Lord, and for the nations of Europe, Lord, and even the world to come out of this place. And we are just thrilled to be having a part to play in it, Lord. Bless each one today with your word, Father. Add to our lives today, Lord. Add to value, add dimensions that we've never thought possible for your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, yeah, I don't want to waste my time talking about America. It was great. And every goal that we had, we achieved. And God's word is more important. And maybe just show a load of photographs. We did go to Graceland. I don't know where John Hoyland is, but I don't even know where Anna is. Maybe they're in Graceland. But what an amazing place. We went to see where Martin Luther King was shot, the motel, which is still intact. And like it's like it was when it happened. The car is still outside. The door of the motel, like it's one of those out, you know, like balconies. There's a wreath on it, and it was the most moving thing. When I got out of the car, I just had a sense. I was moved emotionally. I don't even know why, but it was quite incredible. And then we went over to see the King, Elvis, and that was another. That was an amazing. I haven't got an Elvis CD, or the closest I am to Elvis is John Hoyland, and. But like I want to tell you, if you're an Elvis fan, you'd want to get there. It's really, really quite incredible, incredible thing. And I already told Anna to bring John for his 50th because he needs to be there. That guy, man, he needs to go there. Father, thank you. The keys to liberty. We're nearly wrapping up this whole series. We've one more next week, and the series wrapped up. And I don't know many sermons we've done in this, but I want to say. I want to say a big thank you and a well done to Rob and Louise and Eddie and who else preached while I was away? Peter, Scotty, Mark, like all those who were involved in bringing God's word and testimony, and particularly the preachers. Like, guys, well done. I have absolutely heard amazing things about you. One pastor in America says to me, are you not afraid when you go back, they've done such a good job that they won't need you, be done out of a job? I would agree I could be done out of a job if this was a job. This is not a job, this is a call. So I can't be done out of a call. I can be done out of a job. And if one of the kids are going to do me out of a job, praise the Lord. I'm like, we're not insecure because we're smart churches to plant and there's more places to be sent. So I say, yeah, outdo me any day, guys. You're welcome. So welcome to that, if you can. That's how to put myself under pressure. I haven't slept in 3 nights since I came back, right? Be easy on me. Anyway, this series is absolutely being brilliant, and I hope you've taken the keys and the principles and applied them, because they're the only work in application. They don't work in just hearing, they work in doing. They work in, so you could sit under the word of God for years. Years. Imagine how awful that would be. That if we were in the church and locusts has eaten years of your life in the church. It would be awful to get before God. Lord, and we're still the same, still thinking the same, acting the same. It'd be awful, wouldn't it? Truly, it would be. And so I hope that you've taken some of these principles and some of these keys and applied them to your life and give this world godly you. Give this world an incredible you. Give this world a beautiful you, a forgiving you, a dynamic you, because that's what Jesus called us to be. So I want to talk this morning about what is God's goal for our lives. Everybody, you know, over the years, one of the things that I've had to come to grips with in talking to people is when people get freaked out, their head gets melted about the will of God. Should I be here? Should I be doing this? Should I be there? And then some people that find the will of God for their lives, they set it down in such a concrete way that they can't move off of it, or they feel they can't move off of it. And yet the will of God is not, in a sense, when you're walking with God, it's not about straight lines. Just look in the Old Testament, they never went in a straight line. It was in valleys and up hills and round deserts and taking on giants. And when they got out of the will of God is not so much like railway tracks that are just set. The will of God is more like a river. And that it meanders. And so what is the goal for your life? What's God's goal? What's God's passion for your life? Do you know what? What we believe in our Christian walk will have us where we're at today. Whatever your belief system is a result. Where you're at today is a result of what you believe or what you do not believe. That everything, when you walk, if your belief system is faulty, if what you believe about yourself or about God, what God believes about you, if you have a faulty system, well then your walk will be faulty. Your walk will be full of all types of different things. And faith is basically bringing yourself into alignment with what God says about you, what God says about the world in His Word, the Holy Bible. Amen. And so at the end of the year, what would give you what would give you the greatest satisfaction when you look back and go, this year I achieved ? What would you measure yourself off this year? What's the goals? What's the aims that you set down that you measure yourself off? And some of us measure ourselves off faulty measurements. When you're a young Christian and if you measure yourself and you're a bit out of the way, in fact, great day with Bob yesterday. Great breakfast with the men at the church, and we went for a game of it wasn't golf, it was like, what was it called? Pitch and putt. And I don't play pitch and putt, but just for the record, I got 2 birdies. Oh, that was supposed to, Josh was impressed with me, that's all I really cared about. You know, the guys were learning me how to stand properly and where to put your feet and whatever. And you know what, you can start off, like, and if you're a new player and you're that much away from the hole, you've done really well. You know, but when you get up to, if you're just a little bit off at the beginning when you're shooting off, like with the club, if you're a bit off as a new player, that's all right, you're expected. And the same as a Christian, if you're a bit off with things as a young Christian, you can be easily corrected. You can be easily told, no, walk this way, or, you know, you need to look at the scriptures this way. But if you're older in the Lord and longer in the Lord and your system is faulty, you're way off mark in a lot more of a different way. If you get what I mean. Now, when you're young, you can be corrected. But when you're older in the Lord, years and years in the Lord, and you still have a faulty system, it's a lot harder to correct that because it's got into your head as a belief system. And so, therefore, whatever goals we make, they can't be measured against. Some people make their goals against, I'll measure myself against that person. I will be happy if I have the same windows in the house as Mrs. Jones around the corner. You know, we measure ourselves all the time against wrong things, things that we've no control over. We measure ourselves in all types of different ways. There was a famous Christian teacher called John Stott, many might remember. But and John Stott, I think it's just earlier this year that actually John Stott died. But in 2007, at the Keswick Convention, this great Bible teacher, Dr. John Stott, he gave what he said was his last public engagement or his last address to people at the age of 87. This was in 2007. And you think, with this man, he was 87 years of age. He's given his last public address ever. This guy is renowned all over the Christian world as a tremendous Bible teacher. So everybody was waiting with eager anticipation. What will he say for his last public address? Like his last sermon. Do you ever read the last sermons of people in the Old Testament, the words they give to people? They're absolutely fantastic. So everybody was waiting, what will John Stott say? After all this study, all this teaching, everything else, what would John Stott have to say? And he posed a question at the beginning. And this was to go on into his topic. What is God's purpose for his people? So in all of his learning, he asked the question, what is God's purpose for his people? We'll get back to that at the end of the sermon. You want to know? In the Keys to Liberty, the 3 things that we've learned about is that we, whether subconsciously or consciously, we've all been set on a path of finding 3 things: security, significance, and acceptance. All the things that Adam had and Eve had in the garden,
when they fell out, when they fell in the garden, when they sinned against God, when they were disobedient, they lost the sense of significance, the sense of security, and the sense of acceptance. And from that time on, mankind, Adam and Eve's kids, have been searching for significance, searching for acceptance, and searching for security. And we've gone after these legitimate needs in all types of ways, some legitimate ways and some illegitimate ways, that you would not believe, well, you would believe, because we're some of them, what we've done in our lives to be accepted. What we've given, there's people that have given every waking hour of their day in jobs and in all types of things to find security, to find significance, and it's being found wanting. We set goals. We say all these things, and then I'll get this, I'll have this, I'll do this, I'll go there, I'll have these people in my life, and I'll feel secure, I'll feel significant, I'll feel accepted. But what is God's goal for you? To go back to the very beginning of this series, the only place that you will find them is in God. I'm telling you, up front, outright, you can search, read the famous people, read about the multi-billionaires, read about all the people that have done the things in this world, and they found them wanting. They've gone to the mountaintop that many seem to want to get to, and those who have been there are shouting down, this is not it. I have everything, gone everywhere, but if you're going to find security and acceptance and significance in this world, it has to be found in God. And that's the good news. The good news is that you can find it in God. That he does come in, and what Adam and Eve gave away, Jesus came to take back. What Adam gave away, and that Jesus says, what I've been given and what I've taken back, I now give to you who believe in me and follow me. So we can have all of this in our world. Amen?
Amen.
Some measure themselves by what they achieve. Some measure themselves by, I will raise my children right. I will have all of my significance and security and acceptance in this world, boy. I'll just raise the perfect kid. Do you ever notice people try to raise perfect kids? I tell you out straight. They normally raise little freaky kids. I just mean up front. Look, raise your kids so people will like them. Don't raise your kids and make enemies for them. But people throw it all in. They set goals of like, I'll just put all of this into the kids, and I'll have them just really write all of my energy, all of everything that I find, I'll put it in them. And we're placing their goals in the wrong place. Some in jobs, some in gain wealth. That I'll just sow all of my gifts, all of my talents, everything into just acquiring. I will build this empire, that empire, it's faulty. I'll tell you why they're all faulty. They depend on other people to make your goals come to pass. And you know what happens when you depend on other people to make your goals come to pass? They let you down. Or else you're going to have to manipulate them or control them. And you've no right to control another person. You have no right whatsoever. And in fact, if we know anything, whoever tries to control things loses what they tried to control in the end. They lose it. You look at a man that's trying to control his wife. Look at men that I lived in a flat complex in Dalton Spire where there's a man that beat his wife up awfully. He lost her in the end. Because one day she found the courage and she said, boy, boy, you can't beat me, you can't break my spirit anymore. Can't control me anymore than you've ever controlled me. And in the end, if you can try to control something, you lose it. And you're trying to set your goals on life and where you're going in life on with other people in mind, and other people have to make it happen, it's not a good place to have your goals. You can have desires. And there's people, raising your kids right is a godly desire. Acquiring things is not evil. It can be godly so that you can be someone who blesses other people. But if they depend on other people, their desire is more than goals, or at least the goal that God has set for our lives. So what is the goal that God has for our lives? Any guesses? Come on, from the floor. Can I hear the bit over here? Come on. Come on, shout it out. Say it again. Bless you abundantly. Save souls. Save souls. Happiness.
Freedom.
Reach the lost. Freedom.
Love.
What?
Love.
Love. Yeah. Tell us later. Rob said the right answer. I'll tell you. God's goal for us is not dependent on any other person. God's goal for us is to be more like Jesus. That's his goal. That you are more like Jesus. In fact, if I want to be a great husband, if I'm more like Jesus, I'll be a great husband. If I want to be a great father, I can set all the goals. I'm going to be a great husband. I'm going to do all the things. But it's dependent on Sharon receiving them. She can go, I don't like them flowers. There's my goal. My goal's shattered. I'm back into insignificance, insecurity, and total rejection. But if I go with God's goal, which is to make me more like Jesus, I become the most attractive person in my household. That if my goal is, right, Lord, I want to be. In fact, I remember saying to the Lord when I first became a Christian, I was lying in the bed and I said, Lord, change Sharon. And like a boom out of heaven, let me change you. Let me change you. If you're a better husband, I guarantee you she'd be a great wife. If you're a great father, you'll have great kids. If you're a godly father, you'll have godly kids and great kids. At least they have a chance. The danger with putting all your eggs in the kids' baskets is when they reach a certain age and they make decisions about their life that's contrary to the decisions you want for their life. You can't do it. They will break your heart. Listen, a great place to start. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 to 10. This understands and gives us some insight into God's goal for our lives. Are you with me? So, godly desires are great, but they depend on other people. And disappointment, you can deal with disappointment. Godly goals are those specific things that God calls us to do that we measure ourselves up against in the end. Am I more like Jesus? Or am I still this angry, bitter, unforgiven, lost person, even though I'm in the household of believers? So God's goal is incredible. And there's no one else involved, only you and God. Nobody else can rob you of this. Only you. Nobody. No devil. No person. No circumstance can rob you of God's goal for your life. The only person that can rob you of this is you. So there's no one else involved. I cannot blame my mom. I cannot blame my dad. I cannot blame my husband. I cannot blame my wife. I cannot blame my children. I cannot blame the economy. I cannot blame the government. If I'm being transformed into the image of Jesus, well, the only one that is in control of that is me. That I determine how I respond to all that other stuff. And I hope our goal is to be responsive like Jesus was, which is not easy, I agree. Listen to 2 Peter. This gives us understanding God's goal for our lives. His divine power, verse 3, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and goodness. That's a fantastic scripture. He's given us everything we need. Everything we need for life and for godliness. Through our knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises. So that through them you may participate in the divine nature. And escape the corruption of this world caused by even evil desires. We have everything we need. We have divine nature. His nature in us. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he is being cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. What a scripture. Absolutely incredible. Peter starts by telling us that everything we have for life and godliness, that's our starting point. We share God's very nature. We saints, we're actually radical, shocking, holy saints. We're holy through and through. And this is a tremendous starting point. And we have to understand what has already been done for us and what we truly have already in Jesus. We don't have to gain divine nature. We've already been given the divine nature who lives in us. We don't have to become holy. The Bible says we're holy through and through. From the inside out, holy. Peter says, start with faith. Faith is simply bringing your beliefs into alignment with what God says. And he says, start with faith. Now, God's plan for your life and my life, here it is. Is to add to faith, love, knowledge, peace, all the things that he said, self-control, goodness. He says, add to the faith, the coming into alignment with God, brotherly kindness, brotherly love. He says, if you don't have these, you're nearsighted. But God's plan for our lives is that he keeps adding and adding. And he adds to that, and he adds to that, and he adds to that, and he adds to that. That when, if I'm still the same when I first became a Christian, I have to be pitied because I'm the most immature Christian. But as you walk with God and as you allow his life to come out of you, he adds and adds and adds. In fact, God is not interested in what you do. God is interested in what you're like. Do you get me? He's not interested so much in what you do, because we go, I'll do this, this, and this for you, God. Now, what you like? Are you like my son, Jesus? No, I'm not, Lord. Will you help me to be like him? Will you show me the blockages? See, the word of God came this morning about forgiveness. And unforgiveness. That's a block to being more like Jesus, because you know what Jesus was? Forgiven. Father, forgive them. But you know not what they do. I want to tell you something about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not about that person that done something on you. Forgiveness is about you. It's about you. It's about your well-being, your wholeness, you being changed into the image of Jesus. This is three times now. Three times this morning, God has prompted me to say that about forgiveness. That's not in my notes. Don't walk out without getting that before God. God wants to add and add and add the attributes of God, the attributes of what he's like, the character. God is more concerned with your character than he is with your gifts. Because you have to have the character to carry the gifts. People want, God, give me power. You wouldn't be able for power. You know why? Because you can't even forgive someone. You haven't even made a decision to forgive them. You want me to heal people through you, the devil will murder you in a week. He will slaughter you. Okay, there's power. If you haven't got the character to carry you, become arrogant. Your ego takes over. And all of a sudden, you're wearing white suits. In Dublin, imagine going around here in a white suit. Be battered around the place. Dragged down to Moore Street. Slap, slap. But it's amazing if you haven't got the character to carry you. And even when God is forming his character in you, it's still hard. His goal for you is to be like him. Be like Jesus. To walk like Jesus. Talk like Jesus. Treat people like Jesus. What an incredible privilege. And the only one that can stop that process happening is me. The only one that makes the decisions. There's no one else. I can't blame anyone. We can't go before God and say, well, I was born in Dublin. So, this is my background. That's not the concluding factors. That's not the deal breaker. The deal breaker is, Lord, help me. Or I don't want this. And I'd rather stay little old me and get the little old same results that I've always got. John Stoss said all those years, serving God, 87 years of age, come to his last end of his life. The last sermon he was going to preach, what is he going to preach? What is he going to say? Surely he's acquired incredible insight, incredible revelation, incredible Bible study. He's going to come out with a Hebrew word that is going to just open up the whole Bible to us. This is what he said. He said, I want to share with you where my mind has come to rest in God. As I approach the end of my pilgrimage on earth, it is It is what God wants for his people is to become Christ-like. All those years, he comes to the same conclusion. God wants his people to be like Jesus. Peter says, we have been given divine nature. I was looking at, imagine loving like Jesus. Jesus wasn't a pushover, by the way. Love is not a pushover thing. Love is not a big sign around your neck. Come on, treat me like rubbish. Walk on me like, that's not, Jesus didn't allow that. But love is kind, and love is patient. And love always thinks the best of people. Even when they don't show their best side. You can't manufacture this love. You can't buy this love. It's his divine nature. He knows the worst of us and loves us the best. Isn't that amazing? Being patient like Jesus. Again, it's not like you woke up, I have to be patient, I have to be patient. It's part of your nature. It becomes like just who he is like. They said to Jesus, show us the Father. He says, if you see me, you see my dad. Do you ever hear people ask you the questions? Where's God? He's in me, so he's here. What does he look like? Better go and look at Eddie. Paul says, imitate me, he says. The confidence he had of who he was in God. If you want to walk in anywhere with God, imitate me, he says. What an incredible statement. Forgive like Jesus. Serve like Jesus. Jesus in John, the Last Supper, he knew where he was going. He says he gets up after supper, after eating, gets up from the table. You know what? Takes off his outer garments and gets down and washes his feet. We've breeded and we've created a culture in worldwide Christianity. It's like, just sit at the table. Make it all about me. Rom, 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 rom. Feed me. On a Sunday when you're here, this is not just about coming to get fed. This is like building you up so that tomorrow you walk that field off you somewhere. That you get up and you serve somewhere. You up and you bring Jesus to the world somewhere. Not just to wait till next Sunday or wait till the link group or wait till Bob or wait till something else and I'll go and get more food and more food. No, Jesus got up. He starts serving them. You talk about forgiveness. He washes Judas' feet, knowing that he'd already made the deal. He washes the feet of the person who was going to cause nails to be in his own feet. I want to be like Jesus. I couldn't do that myself. But I want to be like Jesus. Amen? Yeah. I'm finishing up. We don't read this in this passage, and I contemplated this for a long time, but if we're going to have the divine nature and we're going to have the character of God in us to be able to carry what God has for us, if we're going to be like Jesus. Jesus wasn't only just meek and mild and patient and kind. He was all of that. But he was powerful. He was powerful. The same image that we're being changed into is the same image and nature of a God who was powerful, who heals the sick, who causes the blind eyes to open, who causes the lame to walk. And I told him, I hear this stuff being preached, we go, oh yeah, we think of all Jesus, them attributes of Jesus, but there's other attributes of Jesus that the church, oh Lord, change me into. Yeah, I want the character. Of course I do, because I wouldn't be able to carry it. But I want the power that Jesus had. Jesus says, you'll do greater things than this. We'll do greater things. I says to my pastor friend of mine, I says, you know what? There's a desire in me to see the supernatural. It's going to come. And it is here. When I'm in America talking to those people, they said, you guys are living in the book of Acts. And it's only when you take a step back and you go, look at what God is doing. Look. Look how he's touching. Look what he's changing. Look what he's the presence of God is manifesting in this place and throughout this city. Look at Main Street on a Saturday. Warriors walking up and down the street. Where's the yellow pole? Where's the man with the blue jeans on? God is something for you. Phenomenal. God wants to not only just release that character of Jesus He wants to release the whole of Jesus. And my pastor's friend says, no, you're seeing miracles all the time. But there's more. I don't know when I'll be satisfied. When we're standing outside Massey's, I don't know. I don't know when that desire inside me, I didn't place it there. I don't know when it's millions of people getting saved. I don't know when it'll be. But we're going to have Jesus. We're going to have all of Jesus. I'm going to have all of Jesus. We can have all the attributes. All the attributes. And the only one that can stop that is me. The only one that can say, I have enough. The only one that can stop that is like, I'm sorry, God. Like, I just want to do my own thing. I just want to go my own places. And the call this morning to us in the area of transformation of our lives. There's an old word that we use called consecration. And it means this, setting yourself aside for the things of God. And if you set yourself aside, you become Christ-centered and not self-centered. Does that make sense? If you set your self-conscious aside, we become more God-conscious. As long as no self is in there, but consecration means taking yourself and presenting it to God as a living sacrifice. Romans 12. And the sacrifice is saying, person, God changed me into the image of your son. What a great goal. I will be powerful. I will be attractive. I will be incredible in this city if I can do what, just be like him. Amen. And you know, do you know who can make that decision? The only person that can make that decision is you. It can't be harassed, it can't be prayed into, it can't be prayed out of you. It's just you. Lord, here I am. Change me. Use me. I will not make any other excuse, Lord. I will not justify any behavior. I will not justify any sin. I'm just saying, here I am, Lord. And Jesus, you did only the only thing that Jesus wanted to do was to please his dad. And Jesus says, if you want to show that you love me, obey my words. He loves you, you don't have to gain his love. He accepts you, you don't have to gain his acceptance. He already does that. But he says, if you want to display your love for me, whatever I tell you to do, do it. And this morning, call is, would you consecrate yourself? Will you set yourself apart this morning and just say, Lord, I want to be like you. I accept that as your goal for my life. The goal is not ministry. The goal is not even to be a perfect wife or a perfect husband. The goal is not to be a multimillionaire. The goal is not to be worldwide known. The goal is to be like you, Jesus. And what's incredible is that all them things that we have desires for, we get them when we seek first the kingdom. That we get to being a great dad. We get to be a great husband or a good husband. We get to be a brother that loves another brother and a sister that loves a sister and a church that is attractive. So here we are, Lord. First of all, as a church, I present us to you, Lord. I present it to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. I present us collectively. I say, Lord, we want to be Jesus to this city, to our communities. We want to carry what he carried. We want to walk the way he walked. We want to treat people the way he treated people. We want to be annoyed with what annoyed him. All the other things about reaching people and love and all that, they're all right. They're great. You will. They all come out of being like him. So, Lord, we don't place anything above you right now. We tell everything else to take a step down. If we were in a queue right now,
And there's like five or six things ahead of Jesus in the queue. Just tell them to come back and put him at the top of the queue. All the goals, all desires, everything else, just put him up the top of the queue. And say, Lord, no, you're number one. And everything else is behind you. And I'll start with you, Lord, and whatever you want for my life, I will take it. I'll forgive like you. Just make that decision. Just make it. Just make that decision. He'll back her up when you make it, but he waits for you to make it. And I just release healing in the name of Jesus. And maybe just as an act, it's probably high pressure in a building like this today, but you can do it or don't do it. There's no condemnation. There's no nothing, believe me. But just as an act before God, just stand or something. Just present yourself. You can sit and present yourself, but somehow present yourself. Noel Kenny, here I am. Ansha. Nuligo Cunic, Ansha. Here I am. I'm here. I'm present. I'm in this place. I'm before a mighty God. God who has a plan and a purpose, who's come to give me significance and security and acceptance. He was come to give me his divine nature. And the only way that we don't want this is that we forget who we are. And the great thing, if you forget, the great thing for forgetting is remembering. So if you've forgotten who you are, remember who you are today. I'm a son of the King. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm not an orphan. I'm an heir to a throne. And there's people here this morning, consecration can be this. You've never given your life to God. You've never said, Jesus, forgive me, come into my life. You've never asked him. It's the same thing. It's like, Jesus, here, take my old life, give me your new life. There's a starting point to all this. It's bringing your life, your faith into alignment where he says. He says that we've got a wrong and he wants to forgive our wrongs. He has the remedy for sin. It's his blood. He has the remedy for our old way of living. He gives us a brand new way of living. But it has to start somewhere. It has to say, yeah, I want it. And if you're here this morning, you've never asked Jesus for that. Would you just, while everyone's looking at me, put up your hand and say, I want this life that God has for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want this life. I want this life. I want Jesus. I want to be like him. Thank you. Thank you. Just someone from the pastoral team, just look around from the pastoral team. The reason why I'm saying is because I just want you to connect with people. You're on the pastoral team, you're leading a home group, something. Just, yeah, I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to make sure that you get something off us at the end. That will help you. And here's how I started 23 years ago. I said this prayer, dear Jesus, forgive me for getting it wrong. Cleanse me of my sin. Take this broken life and give me yours. That was my exact little prayer. Dear Jesus, forgive me. I accept your forgiveness. I give you this life. Can I have yours? I accept yours. Fill me with your spirit. Change my heart. Change my life. For all of us, Lord, we say we want to be like Jesus. We already have divine nature. And Lord, we say, let that work its way into every area of our lives. Father, I release, Father God, in desire and a passion that, Lord, the goal, your goal for our life is our number one goal. And if there's areas of my life where I'm not being like Jesus, have your way, Father. Have your way in me, Lord. Search me and know me. See, is there anything that's offensive in me, Lord? And if there is, will you lead me in the way to everlasting? I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great dad. I want to be a great brother. I want to be a great leader. I want to be someone in this city that leaves a mark in this city, Lord. And I know the only way I can do that is to be like you.